All right, come on back in, you guys. And as you come in, another announcement it was in the bulletin, but I want to make sure you guys know about it because it's today as well. And for our ladies, listen up, we have a special, there's a baby shower for Carrie. If you haven't seen, if you don't know who Carrie is, just look for the woman who's about ready to have a baby. And pretty obvious. Anyway, she's actually back at our computer, but you can see the information. I hope that you can go to that this afternoon. It's at Misty Lee's house. You see all the information there in the bulletin. There might even be, I think there's some flyers or stuff in the back as well. We have the clipboard that's going around. And for those, again, start over here. And Steve or Chip or whoever gets the last one, just pass it over this way and eventually make its way through. So you can help out at that Christmas lighting some way. Please sign up on that, all right? Well, if you have a Bible, hopefully you do, maybe it's on your phone even, or you got hopefully a real Bible there, turn to 1 Kings 19. We'll be there in just a few moments, okay? So 1 Kings 19. But before we get started, would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time of worship in song, for time of just talking to you in prayer, time of hearing your voice to us through the four who were baptized and listening of what you have done in their lives. And now, Lord, as we come to your word, as we continue on this series of hearing God, may you speak to us. Lord, you do speak to us. You want to speak to us, but Lord, help us to be able to hear. Sometimes it's hard to hear your voice. What does that mean? And that's kind of what this series is about. So I pray that you would speak to our hearts, even as we pray that every week. May you become even more real this morning. We love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You know, as I mentioned, even in my prayer, I believe that God still speaks today. And I believe that we can hear God. You know, 2 weeks ago, we began this series on a kind of a journey of what it means to hear God. But before we move on to this next message, we need to be reminded, maybe I know many of you weren't here, but even some of our regulars weren't here, and of kind of the foundation that we built. That first message is so important, and you can even go online. Our messages, Jason's from last week and mine in the past, are online. You can go and listen to them there. But the thing that we heard 2 weeks ago of the most important aspect of hearing God is that we must have a relationship with God. Before you can have a conversation with someone, you have to meet them, right? You have to talk with them. You have to have some kind of relationship. You see, it's not about hearing some super special spiritual message from God that will make you feel important or spiritual, whatever that means. But rather, it's about hearing from God in a relationship. It's not even about hearing what God wants to tell us of how to live our lives or the next step that we're supposed to take in our lives. See, as we learned that first week, ultimately hearing God is about that God created us for an intimate friendship with Jesus. God created us for a friendship, a relationship with Him. We looked at John chapter 10, I believe, where it talked about Jesus said that you are my friends. If you love me and follow me, he calls us friends. So as we continue learning about this idea of hearing God, let's remember why God speaks to us, why he wants us to hear from him, and that is because he wants a relationship with us, not just a religion, not just to go to church once in a while or once a week, but about a relationship that is ongoing. God has always desired his people to hear from him and to deepen that relationship with him. And as we're going to see this morning in various ways from his word, and even as you have maybe experienced some of these from your own experience, God addresses us in a variety of ways. Some of them, as we're going to see, are kind of supernatural. Others are actually pretty quite normal. But as we kind of just take a little flyover at the beginning of different ways that God speaks to us, I want you to put yourself in the shoes, in a sense, in the mind of those that we're talking about. Because a lot of times when we talk about people in the Bible, and I certainly have done this in the past, is we put these people that we talk about on a pedestal. Sometimes people do that with me too. And we shouldn't, because the people in the Bible are just like us. Now we think, well, that's not true. Well, actually, yes, it is true. Now they grew in their faith to have many of them great faith, but if you look at where many of them started or even their lives, they are just like us. They experienced depression. They experienced weariness. They experienced confusion, fear, doubts, low self-worth, and many other things, just like you and I do. So as we go into this, don't think, well, hearing God, that's for those who are really spiritual. No, hearing God is for every single person. So with that in mind, let's kind of begin this message with what I call a flyover of ways that people have heard God in the past, and some even in the present. The first one is what we might call a phenomenon plus a voice. This is a pretty unique one. In other words, kind of like an example is like Moses with the burning bush. Now, I know most of you have probably had an experience like that, but I never have. I mean, Moses, that was a pretty unique experience, a bush talking to Moses. Saul, who became Paul, with a blinding light. Remember his story, where he was blinded by this light and God spoke to him, even as he was blinded. God also speaks to us through what we might call supernatural messenger, or what we call angels. The Bible calls angels. God sends angels, like with Joshua. If you know the story, Joshua was going into Jericho, preparing to take the people there, and an angel came before him and spoke on behalf of God to him. We, as we prepare for Christmas, we all know many of the Christmas parts of the story. An angel came, right? Like to Joseph and said, Joseph, your wife's telling you the truth. She is pregnant and she hasn't been unfaithful and you're going to be a dad. We see Peter. An angel came to Peter while he was in jail. God speaks to people sometimes through dreams and visions. Like Joseph in the Old Testament had this dream that kind of a predicting even of his future. King Nebuchadnezzar, a king who wasn't even a godly king, had a vision that God gave. The Apostle Paul had a dream. And I've heard of people, I know of people who have had dreams who God has spoken to him through that way. Another way, not as often, at least not in our day, but is through an audible voice. Sometimes God speaks in an audible voice. I've heard some people who have said that one time in their life they heard an audible voice. It was very rare. But we see in the Bible it seems to happen occasionally, like with Abraham. He was about ready to sacrifice his son. God had actually told him to go do that. And then a voice comes, says, stop. There's a ram over here that you will use. And he heard this voice. Samuel, a little boy. Is it just for adults? No. A little boy who was in the temple, Samuel, heard God. Didn't know what it was at first. Kept going to his mentor. You called for me? No. Finally, the priest realized, okay, maybe it's God talking to him. And sure enough, it was. So these are kind of various ways that God has spoken in the past and some even in the present. But there's three that we're going to focus on the next 3 weeks. Three that are the most common of how God speaks to us and how we hear God. We're going to look at one today and two others in the next 2 weeks. But let me just kind of share those two that we'll talk about in the next 2 weeks. The first one is God speaks clearly and very pointedly through his word, through the Bible, through Jesus, who is called the Word of God as well. As a matter of fact, this is the most reliable voice. And it is, as we'll see next week, the guide to which we are to measure all other voices, in a sense, that we hear. The second thing we'll talk about in 2 weeks is God speaks and we can hear him through others, through other people. Sometimes God speaks through a pastor. Sometimes he speaks through a book that somebody wrote. Many times he speaks through someone else that God has put into our life, a family member, a friend, and many other ways. You know, many times, a lot of people think, you know, the more dramatic the way that God speaks, then it must be the bigger and more important message to him. And sometimes that's the case, but it's interesting, as I've read the Bible and as I've been studying for this particular series and reading a number of books on hearing God, all of them seem to agree that actually it is the less dramatic the form, sometimes the more fuller the content or message. It's interesting. The more dramatic often was initially brought to them because, kind of like me maybe, or some of you, we're kind of dense. And we don't get it. And God has to get our attention, kind of like he did with Moses. If you know Moses' story, he wasn't exactly the best person that God could have chose if you look at all his attitude and some of the things he had. And God had to get his attention. But for many of us, especially if you've been walking with God for a while, God doesn't need that huge thing in your life, that dramatic event. Sometimes he does. But sometimes he has another thing, a very prominent role of how he speaks to us, and it's what we're going to focus on this morning. And that is that God oftentimes speaks to us in a still, small voice, or what the Bible often even calls a whisper. God speaks in a still, small voice, or a whisper. What does that mean? Where does that come from? Why? What are you talking about, Pastor Jim? Well, turn to 1 Kings 19 if you haven't already. 1 Kings 19, we'll be starting at verse 9 here in just a moment. But as you're turning there, I hope you do, we see we're going to meet a man named Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God. And Elijah had just come through an amazing, one of those big supernatural things. Basically, he was challenged by 500 prophets of Baal, this false god that these basically said, you know what, let's just see who's really God. And God proved himself. And he was on a high. But right after that high of this victory, all of a sudden the queen of the land, Jezebel, maybe you've heard that name before, she was an evil queen, was not very happy. And she put a bounty on Elijah's head and said, if I see you again, you have no head. And so what was his response? He's like, ah, I'm a prophet of God. Superman, I'll take you on. Look what God did. No. He ran. He took off. He was fearful. He's scared for his life. For 40 days, it says he ran, he hid. And here we pick up the story. He's, in a sense, hiding, waiting to hear from God in a cave out in the wilderness. He's waiting for God to speak to him. Look at verse 9. Actually, it's the second half of verse 9. And it says this, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars. They even put your prophets to death with the sword. And I am the only one left. And now they're even trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart, shattered some rocks even before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came even a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God's presence and voice, it's interesting, didn't come to Elijah in power and in a supernatural experience this time. Even though that stuff was all around him, God did not speak to Elijah through that. It says he came through a gentle whisper, or as other translations say, a still, small voice. Or a gentle whisper of a voice. Or another translation says, the inner voice. The still small voice is one of the prominent ways that God speaks to people today and back then. And many of you, maybe even all of us at one time or another, have heard God's whisper, God's quiet voice in your life. It was the soft voice of God speaking to your heart, to your spirit, to your conscience, all those things that make up our inner life of who we really are, not just the outward part of who we are. It was the gentle whisper of a voice in our thoughts, the thoughts of our mind, of our heart, of our spirit. And sometimes those thoughts aren't ours, but they are God's. Dallas Willard, he's a great man of God, just passed away here a year or so ago, but had written, anyway, just a great theologian and pastor. He wrote this. He stated, "The still small voice, the inner voice, is the preferred and most valuable form of individual communication for God's purposes. God usually uses the inner voice for those who walk in a personal relationship with Christ." And that's why our first message about a relationship with God is so important. Because if we don't have a relationship with God, it's very hard, even impossible, to hear the voice of God. To hear God, we must be developing that relationship with Him. And we're going to look at that a little bit deeper this morning, as well as actually later in December, we're going to really get into it. But going back to Elijah, something we see in this passage as God comes to him. God comes to Elijah right where he is. Think about where Elijah is, right in the midst of his anger over what's going on, over his fear, over his doubt, his discouragement. God meets him right where he is. You know what? I believe, I know from experience, and most of you probably do, is God meets us right where we are, no matter where that is. Elijah, I think part of the reason that God sent those things, I think Elijah wanted God to send a windstorm, an earthquake, a fire upon Jezebel and upon all those who hated God and hated him. He's like, come on, God, you showed your power earlier. Let's do it again. Just get rid of her. But God comes to him in a different way. God, yeah, he'd deal with Elijah in his time, but he was more concerned with Elijah right where he was right then. It's interesting. God had this same kind of message to his people later on when Zechariah wrote his book of what God spoke to him. In Zechariah 4:6, the Lord said this, "It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." By my spirit. You see, he needed Elijah to quiet his heart, to seek the presence of God, the Spirit of God, more than an experience with God. And you know, I think God wants to do that in our lives with us. I think we're like that often as well, especially in the United States, but maybe anywhere, is we seek experiences with God more than we seek the presence or the relationship with God. And we come to church and we want to be moved by great worship. Oh, I love that worship. It moved my heart. It got me excited. The words or the music was so great, and I had this experience with God. Where I come and I want the pastor, and the pastor shares a message, and I learn something new. Ah, that's so great. Or the pastor spoke with passion, and he riled me up. And that experience lasts how long? Not very much longer. You leave, and you kind of forget about it. But do we experience the presence of God, the relationship with God where He speaks to our heart, to our spirits? His quiet, sometimes still, small voice. But you know, to do this, we need to do something that Elijah did. Not literally, but figuratively. It says that he pulled, to pull our cloak over our face. He pulled his cloak over his face. What does that mean? What did he do that for? He was showing humility. He realized God's presence was now there when he heard that still, small whisper. He realized, whoa, God is here. And he's speaking to me. And he pulls this cloak over his head. Like, I cannot see God, because he knows from other places that ultimately you cannot see God in all of his holiness. In other words, we are to seek God in humility. Seek his presence. Know that ultimately we are not worthy of being in God's presence. And yet he invites us there. God meets us right where we are, just like he did with Elijah. Well, let's look and see what happens here. Verse 13, we second part of verse 13 through 18. It says, then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And this is interesting. Sounds familiar at all to you? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites, they've rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars. They've put your prophets to death with the sword. Now I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said or spoke to him, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nishma, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shabbat, from Abel Meholah, to succeed you as the prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any of those who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him, have not followed him. It says here that God said, or God spoke to Elijah. Now, some people believe that God spoke audibly to Elijah. It's kind of 50-50. There's others who believe, as we look at the passage in this context, that this whisper, this still small voice of God was something that was internal. One Hebrew scholar says this, God did not speak audibly to Elijah, but through impressions, thoughts, and feelings. These ways seem to be his preferred method of communicating to us. I don't know for sure, but as I look at this context, I actually tend to agree with that particular leaning. But it's interesting. We'll talk about that again in a little bit and in the weeks to come. But what do we see here in this passage? We see here that when God speaks, it often leads us, and it should lead us, to action or to change. What did God share with Elijah? He gave him a task, didn't he? See, God didn't want Elijah to stay in that place of fear, of doubt, of uncertainty, of anger. Whenever God speaks to us, he usually has something that he's calling us to do, to change. It could be something outward, it could be something inward. It's somewhere he wants to lead us in that next step with him, that next part of our walk and relationship with him. Let me share with you a couple of examples of this in Jesus' life. Jesus, you may remember, at the beginning of his ministry, one night it says he went and he prayed all night with his Father, talking to his Father. And the next morning, he went and he chose the 12 disciples. And he sent them out. He went out with them to share the good news of the kingdom. He heard from his Father. He'd been praying, okay, what direction now? It's interesting, even though Jesus is God, the Son of God, he still relied upon his relationship with the Father to direct him. We see that also at the end of his life, when he's in the garden. And again, he goes late at night and he's praying. We're maybe familiar with this. And he prays about God's direction and will. And ultimately he prays, not my will, but yours be done. And he gets up and ultimately he goes to the cross. There was a point of action of God, the Father, saying, this is the next step. When God speaks to us, he has us to listen, but not just listen, but then leads us to change how he's spoken to us. You know, I remember one of the first times, the one that stands out, kind of first time that I really sensed that I heard God speak to me very clearly. Not audibly, but he spoke as clear as if I heard his voice. I was in high school. I can't remember what year it was, probably maybe a sophomore or junior. And I was actually, it was a summer, and I was reading my Bible out on the front lawn. And as I was reading it, book of Acts. I remember that. And how the apostles, the disciples were going out. And God spoke to my heart, my spirit, and said, you need to go and mow that neighbor's lawn. See if you can mow that neighbor's lawn. And I was like, kind of heard it, and I was like, really? I sensed God telling me, go cut this person's lawn. It was literally this tall. I listened. I got up at that moment, left my Bible right there, grabbed my lawnmower, walked it over down the block to a neighbor I'd never met, knocked on his door, and it was that day that I met Mr. McAllister. He had oxygen that was keeping him alive that he tow around. He was pretty much homebound. Well, from that day, for a number of years, I'd come and mow his lawn, built a friendship with him, and even had the opportunity to buy him a Bible, to which he asked me to read the Bible to him. All because God whispered to my spirit, to my heart, and I listened. You see, I believe that God whispers, God speaks to our spirit, to our mind. Look on the screen at Proverbs 20, verse 27. Interesting passage, interesting proverb. It says, the lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being. That's the NIV. New King James Version says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Interesting. Interesting passage. Both ways, basically it's saying of how God speaks to us and uses our spirit to hear from him. That our spirit connects with his spirit. It's subjective. It's one of those subjective ways that we can hear from God. It's the primary subjective way that God speaks to us and that we hear God. Again, listen to Dallas Willard, a man I really respect. He says, God addresses us in our own spirits, our own thoughts and feelings toward ourselves, as well as toward events and people around us. God speaks to our spirits. Now, for some of you, as you listen to this, it makes perfect sense. You go, yeah, I get it. I understand it. I've experienced that. For others of you, may like say, that's a little confusing. I'm not quite sure what you're talking about. Let's look at a passage I think will help us. Turn to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 16. Take a moment and turn there. There might even be some things there that you, like in my Bible, you want to circle or underline as you read it, as we look at how the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, speaks to us. Look at verses 9 through 16. It says, Paul wrote this, however, as it is written, it's a quote from the Old Testament, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed, there's a word I have circled, God has revealed to us by his, what does it say? Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except for the man's spirit within him, right? There's things that we know in our heart, in our spirits, that no one else knows unless we share it. But we know it within. It's the same with God. The Holy Spirit. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God. We have received the Spirit, or we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand. There's another one you might want to circle. That we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the what? Spirit, Holy Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man, however, makes judgment about all things. But he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Well, those who have the mind of Christ. We see here, I believe what Paul is saying is that the Holy Spirit is the link to our spirit. The only way that we know God's thoughts and words is through the Holy Spirit who resides in us. The Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. How? Well, because he is God. And that's a unique topic in itself of the Trinity and the relationship they have with one another and with us. But we know here that from Scripture, and especially as we look at Hebrews and other passages, that says when we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us. Matter of fact, he calls us the temple of God. We are now the church, the temple. We don't have to go to a building. God resides in me, in you, if, as we heard the testimony, if we received Christ. We have the Spirit of God. And as we see in verse 13, it says that he teaches us spiritual truths. course, we have to be open to those truths, don't we? He wants us to understand what God has freely given to us, our salvation, and so much more as we walk our life. He speaks to our heart, to our spirit. Let me share with you an example from my own life from this summer. I was actually studying this passage this summer. It's part of why, you know, I chose to do this series. And as I was reading and praying and thinking about this particular passage, I wrote down in my journal what I felt God was saying to me. I journaled a lot this summer. And this is what I wrote. It's not really profound in some ways, but it was God's words to me, I believe. And I wrote this quote, "If I am in right relationship with the Spirit of God, He will speak to me. If I am right with God, the Spirit of God will help me understand and interpret what He is saying to me." We have a term for this that for those who went the sword and shield class, maybe you know what that is, but doctrine class we're doing now, we did last year. It's the word called illumination. It's where God, illumination basically has to do with light, right? Where He brings light to our thoughts. As we read His word, He illumines, He brings light for us to understand what He's saying. And He does that by His Holy Spirit. In His whisper to my spirit, He helped me to understand what He was saying, a new truth. And He speaks to us in our thoughts, our mind, about different areas, not just in the Word of God, but He speaks to us as we pray, as we listen about how we are to deal with our families, the relationship in our families. He speaks to us about our job, how we should act and live out in our job. And He speaks to us about our possessions and our view of those things and how we should handle those. He speaks to us about, if we listen, about our sexuality, about our wealth, about our hobbies. He can speak to us about the physical illnesses or diseases that we have or will face. And ultimately, He can speak to us even about death and our upcoming death, which for all of us is at some point, unless the Lord comes back. God speaks to us about all these things and so many more. And that's not to say that it's necessarily easy to always hear God. It's not. Or that He speaks to us all the time about everything. No. But He does speak to us. And some would say, well, how can God speak to us if I know myself, if we're sinful? I mean, I have sinful thoughts quite often. And doesn't the Bible say that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts? Yes. We are sinful. And God's thoughts are higher than ours. And yet we see here, even like with Elijah, God comes in His still small voice, in His whispers to our spirit. He comes and He speaks to us through our thoughts, through our perceptions, through our experiences. And I believe, because I've experienced, and many of you have as well, that God will help us to discern when those thoughts are ours and when those thoughts are His. And we're going to look at that in December. Two specific sermons, one called Recognizing God's Voice and the other, How to Hear God Better. So I encourage you, I know a lot of you are visiting, and that's great. I hope you have a church where you live. But for those who are part of it, you know, come back next week and the week after. This is a series. That's why sometimes it takes longer to learn something deep about God than just 1 or 2 weeks. And if you miss one, like I said, it's online. But you know, I know all of us would think and say, it sure would be a lot easier if God just audibly spoke to me. Right? I mean, can't you just speak to me like my wife does? Well, I wouldn't say that. But anyway, wouldn't you just speak to me? And yet it's interesting. God is after intimacy. Somebody wrote this. He said, think about when you're married, for those who are married, about husband and wife or lovers, of how they share the most endearing moments. The most intimate moments are done in whispers and quiet tones, aren't they? The closer we get in our relationship with Him, the more likely, I believe, that God will speak to us in a whisper, in a still, small voice in our spirit. But here's the key. To be able to hear something quiet, softly, we have to listen. We have to get rid of some of the noise. And that's the problem with Christians in America. because we have so much noise. Some of it's good noise for a time, but we got to set aside our computers and our iPads and iPhones and TV shows and even our, you know, our friendships and our families. In a sense, we need to put some of those aside at times so we can have some time where we can hear God say some deeper things to us. And yes, He speaks to us in the noise. But to really hear the still small voice of God, we have to be quiet. That's why we had one of our goals. We just finished our series, Be the Church, and we talked about what it means for us to be the church. And one of the first goals we had is this. And we're going to be reminding you about these throughout the weeks and months to come, because I don't want it to just be a one-time thing. But here's one of the goals we have for each one of you. It's on the screen. It says, I personally, each one of you personalized, I will regularly spend time meeting with God by reading God's word and prayer with the purpose to hear from God for my life. As we'll hear next week, one of the best ways that we hear from God is through His word, through the Bible. If you want to hear God's still small voice and you need to take time to read, to listen, to meditate on God's word for you. There's another goal that we had for our church to help us to hear God, and it's this one. It says, I will seek to enhance my prayer life by using acts. What is acts? Remember, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, different parts of prayer, or other tools to have a richer prayer life. What does that mean, what richer prayer life? In other words, to have a deeper relationship with God. The more time we spend with God talking and listening, the more that we're going to be able to recognize His voice when He speaks to us, that whisper in our spirit. As I said, we learn this voice through experience. So at first, it's not really obvious at times, but the more you walk with God and the more you hear His voice, the more it becomes clear. Paul points out here in 1 Corinthians that we receive the Spirit of God as followers of Christ. And he says that, you know what, we can search out, we can know God's voice to us. He says we can know the mind of Christ. Matter of fact, he says we have the mind of Christ. That's an interesting term. But in other words, we can know what Christ is thinking of how he wants us to react to something, how he wants us to live. What kind of attitude or thought should we have toward that person or that event? The more that we follow Jesus, the deeper relationship, the more that we read the Bible, the more that we understand in more measure, in a bigger measure, God's thoughts toward us. And we're able to hear his voice in our lives. We learn to hear God. And that's really kind of what this series is about. To be able to learn to hear from God more and more in our lives. As we conclude, let me share with you a true story as just finish up here. It's a true story told by Pastor John Wimber. He was a pastor down in California. And in his church was a woman named Margie Morton. She was a wonderful woman of faith. Her and her husband were very faithful members of the church and involved in the church. But she came down with brain cancer. She had suffered from tumors. Cancerous tumors in her brain for a number of years. She had surgery, which kind of helped out somewhat, but ultimately the tumors came back, and she had this long, long journey of this condition. And Pastor John shares this in his own words. He says, I was praying one day for Margie when I sensed the Lord speaking to me. It wasn't an audible voice. Rather, I felt that he gave me some guidelines for ministering to Margie while I sat before him quietly. He said, you taught Margie how to live. Now you must teach her how to die. I started sweating immediately. He said, I was not happy with those words. I loved Margie greatly and didn't want to see her life come to an end. At the time, he shares, her doctors wanted her to go to a hospital in Los Angeles with really no prospect of any healing. They just wanted to continue the therapy, this chemotherapy. They recommended a treatment that might prolong her life, but without any greater quality. She would continue to suffer tremendously even with the treatment. It would simply prolong her life. I went and I shared with her that I thought her remaining weeks would be better spent at home, maybe with her children, with her husband and with her loved ones, and to share her heart and her life with them as long as she had here on earth. And that I also shared that I thought that she would know when it was time that the Lord would take her. I didn't think that Margie would agree with me, he said, because she was not one to give up without a fight. However, the next 8 weeks, she chose to stay home, sharing her life with her family and friends, conscious of her impending death. As she grew sicker, when it was time, she told her husband it was time to go to the hospital. As she was there for a number of weeks, as was often common, her family would come in and visit with her. And one night, her children and her husband were gathered around her and prayed with her. As they left, they said, "Well, we'll see you tomorrow, Mom." She responded by saying, "Well, you won't find much." They kind of left, sad, not sure what she meant. As soon as she left, she went and took a shower, put on actually a brand new nightgown. The nurse happened to come in at that time when she was getting into bed, and she had dressed up for going to bed, even though she was in a nightgown, had put on some nice makeup. And the nurse came and said, "My, how pretty you look. You look like you're dressed up with some place to go. Where are you going?" She kind of kidded. "I'm going to meet my king," Margie replied. And she did. That night, she died and met her Savior and her King. It's interesting. I believe that God spoke to Pastor John Wimber, who spoke to Margie. And it was a message that was received by both of them, and that God used. He used that message, that word, to speak blessing into Margie and her family at the end of her life. God spoke a peace into her life through Pastor John, but he also spoke, and he kept his word, that he spoke to her the night before her death in a still, small voice that only she heard and knew, that it was time for her to come home. As I said at the beginning of the message, I truly believe with all my heart that God speaks today and that we can hear him. And I believe that we can hear from God, and it all starts with a relationship. It's just what we heard this morning from Evan and Rocky and Abby and Boston. It starts with a relationship. That's the first voice that God speaks to us, is about relationship, about our need for his love and his forgiveness and his salvation. I hope that you'll continue in this journey, whether here at North Marine Fellowship or as you leave, that you will, in the weeks to come, learn more and seek more to hear from God in your life. May this week we be open to his Spirit as he speaks to our spirit. May our mind, our heart, our thoughts be open to God's whispers, to his still, small voice. And as he speaks to us, that we not only listen, but like with Elijah, we act. We do what God speaks to us. Would you pray with me, worship team, when you come up? Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, even now, I know it's just what happens. You're speaking to people's hearts right now, to their spirit. You're showing them of something you want to say about their relationship with you or about something that's coming up or whatever. Lord, that's between you and them. And I just pray that you would continue to show us and give us the ability to hear, to be quiet enough to hear your voice. Not only to listen, but then also to follow through. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.